Life Without Death. The first few days of Thanatos's imprisonment passed without incident. Neither Zeus nor Hermes, nor even Hades himself, thought to verify that Sisyphus had been checked into the infernal region as arranged. But when a whole week passed, without the arrival of any new dead souls, the spirits and demons of the underworld began to murmur. Another week went by, and not a single departed shade had been admitted for processing, save one venerable priestess of Artemis, whose blameless life merited the honour of a personal escort to Elysium by Hermes the Psychopomp. This sudden stemming of the flow of souls quite perplexed the denizens of Hades, until someone remarked that they hadn't seen Thanatos in days. Search parties were sent out, but death could not be found. Such a thing had never happened before. Without Thanatos, the whole system collapsed. In Olympus, opinion was divided. Dionysus found the whole situation hilarious and drank a toast to the end of lethal cirrhosis of the liver. Apollo, Artemis, and Poseidon were more or less neutral on the subject. Demeter feared that Persephone's authority as queen of the underworld was being flouted. The seasons over which mother and daughter had dominion required that life be constantly ended and begun again, and only the presence of death could achieve this. The impropriety of such a scandal made Hera quite indignant, which made Zeus restive in turn. The usually merry and irrepressible Hermes was anxious too, for the smooth running of the underworld was partly his responsibility. But it was Ares who found the situation most intolerable. He was outraged. He looked down and saw battles being fought in the human realm with their customary ferocity, yet no one was dying. Warriors were being run through with javelins, trampled by horses, gutted by chariot wheels, and beheaded by swords, but they would not die. It made a mockery of combat. If soldiers and civilians did not die, why then? War had no point. It settled nothing, it achieved nothing. Neither side in a battle could ever win. Lesser deities were as divided over the issue as the Olympians. The Keres continued to drink the blood of those slain in battle and could not care less what happened to their souls. Two of the Horae, Dike and Eunomia, agreed with Demeter that the absence of death upset the natural order of things. Their sister Irene, the goddess of peace, could barely contain her delight. If the absence of death meant the absence of war, then surely her time had come. Ares nagged his parents, Hera and Zeus, with such incessant clamour that at last they could bear it no longer. They declared that Thanatos must be found. Hera demanded to know when he had last been seen. "Surely, Hermes," said Zeus, "it wasn't so long ago that you sent him to fetch the soul of that black-hearted villain Sisyphus." "Damn!" Hermes slapped his thigh in annoyance. "Of course, Sisyphus! We sent Thanatos to chain him up and escort him to Hades. Wait here." The wings at Hermes' heels fluttered, flickered, and hummed, and he was gone. He returned in the blink of an eye. Sisyphus never reached the underworld. Thanatos was sent to Corinth to fetch him half a moon ago, and neither has been seen since.
"Corinth!" roared Ares. "What are we waiting for?"
The locked wardrobe in the bedchamber was soon found and wrenched open, revealing a humiliated Thanatos sitting tearfully in the corner under some cloaks. Hermes took him to the infernal regions, where Hades waved his hand to release the enchanted manacles. "We will speak about this later, Thanatos," he said. "For the moment, a logjam of souls awaits you."
"First, let me fetch that villain Sisyphus, sire," pleaded Thanatos. "He won't be able to trick me twice."
Hermes arched an eyebrow, but Hades looked across to Persephone, sitting in her throne next to his. She nodded. Thanatos was her favourite amongst all the servants of the underworld.
"Just make sure you don't foul it up," grunted Hades, dismissing him with a wave of the hand.